I believe we did about half of chapter 7. Basically, there are really two parts to chapter 7. First, David speaks to Nathan and he says that he wants to build a house for God. How long will he continue to live in a beautiful house made out of cedar? And then, and God is in a tent. Nathan, speaking on his own, without having received any kind of communication from God, says, "Kol asher bilvavcha, whatever is in your heart, do it." And it says that God appeared to Nathan that night, Balayla Hahu, that night he appears to him, and he tells him, no, David will not build the Beit HaMikdash. And as we explained, God appears to Nathan that night because God knows that David is going to act immediately. So he tells him, wait, stay his hand. He may very well begin to pay out all sorts of money to workmen. He may make contracts. He may purchase all sorts of materials. Stop him now because he is not the one who's going to build a house unto me. And the way in which we explained God's communication to Nathan was not that David is being rejected as one who is unworthy of building the Beit HaMikdash. It's simply that there are conditions, and one of the conditions is that there should be peace and no war. Only after wars have ended and peace reigns in Eretz Yisrael, only then will the Beit HaMikdash be built. And that is going to take place in the days of the son of David, not in his days. And at the same time, God therefore promises him the great guarantee that David and his children will be kings. The kingdom of Malchut Beit David begins, and as we pointed out, it is Malchut. After Malchut is established, only then can Beit HaMikdash be built, and Malchut is established the moment that the torch is passed from David to Shlomo. The moment that it is passed, then with Shlomo ascending the throne, it becomes the kingdom of the house of David, and therefore he is the one who is able to build the Beit HaMikdash. The second half of the chapter that we're going to learn today is David HaMelech's response. And I think there were a number of things that I said last week that I said them Wednesday morning. And the ugly attack on David HaMelech took place Wednesday afternoon. I knew not of Niva v'lo yoda man Niva. He prophesied, I prophesied, and I did not know what I was prophesying. I believe I made a number of comments that I said Wednesday night in Shul as well, that in order to fully comprehend and understand David HaMelech, only one way to understand the number one, one has to know all of Tanakh. One cannot just choose one particular incident in the life of David and pass judgment upon him on the basis of that one incident. Number two, I said that one cannot even attempt to begin to penetrate the world of piety and holiness that David inhabited without having studied all of Tillim from beginning to end with all of the Mefarshim. And obviously, well, I don't think I said it last week, but now there's a third important and fundamental principle, and that is that one has to approach Tanakh with deep and abiding faith. The one who is going to look at Tanakh from eyes that are secular and in advance already reject the divinity and the holiness of Tanakh, obviously is only going to see what they want to see. They will zero in and focus in only on those areas of Tanakh that are difficult to understand, incomprehensible, but can be understood in terms of the greater view of Tanakh. Go show somebody, a few brush strokes without seeing an entire picture. One certainly cannot understand it. Of course, I still have a few weeks, you understand, I still have a few weeks until we get to the story of David and Bathsheba, so that I can prepare myself well and prepare you as well for the faith and the trust in the Mefarshim and Chazal that one has to have in order to understand it. Yes?
There's an article about that.
The Jerusalem Post got me sick on the first page, so I didn't read the. I didn't read the rest. No, there was yesterday. There was an article about all of the Pearl, Chaim Pearl. All of the that was yesterday. Oh, so come on, don't confuse me. You know, yeah. When you quote a Jerusalem Post, you have to quote day and date and what page. Amid Aleph or Amid Beis. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I just want to tell you that I heard a rabbi giving a commentary on this problem on Arut Sheva, and he said that Herod doesn't approve, but he obviously approves of what Aleph does.
now you're getting political. Now you're getting political. Yes, it's all political. But unfortunately, it's a terrible tragedy. Fact that we amongst our own people, they cast such terrible aspersions on the Sefer HaSfachim, Tanakh. It's a terrible, terrible problem. So therefore, that's why it's all the more important that we should learn Tanakh, and learn Tanakh the way it's supposed to be learned. Let's hear it, David HaMelech now. Yes.
Yesterday
that she heard on the radio what was going on in the campus. She said, "Well, Paris, it was unbelievable because
six goats of the smoke, each one stood up. Then we believe David
Melech, Yisrael Chai V'Kayel." Yeah, some of them said David Melech, Yisrael Chai V'Kayel. All right, so she's just one of these great eternal optimists that always finds something nice in something that is terribly ugly. All right, let's see. So we are here. David HaMelech has been promised something that nobody else had ever been promised, that he is going to be the founder, not merely of his own kingdom, but a kingdom that is to last forever. Pasuk 18. Vayavor HaMelech David, chapter 7. Shmuel Bet, chapter 7. Vayavor HaMelech David. Vayeshev lefnei Hashem, King David came and he sat before God for Yom, and he said, "Mi anochi, Hashem Elokim, who am I, O God, who mi beiti, and what is my family, ki havi otani ad halom, that you have brought me to this point. I'm unworthy. I am unworthy of these great promises." You know where I'm always interested in noticing how David is referred to. In the Perek up until now, he's been called David. He's been called HaMelech, the king. He's been called David Avdi. And now it says, Vayavo HaMelech David, King David came. Because, number one, after this kind of a promise, he indeed sees himself as King David, because he's given the guarantee that the torch is going to be passed to the next generation. And he speaks to God now as king of the people. More than that, the halacha says over here, this is the halacha that we once discussed. He sits before God, Ein yeshiva ba'azara elo l'malchei beit David bilvad. The only ones that are permitted to sit before God and even upon the Temple Mount are kings from the house of David. Vayeshev, vayavor HaMelech David, King David came, vayeshev, and he sat before God. And he said, "Mi anochi, who am I?" Who else says "Mi anochi"? Who else says "Mi anochi"? Moshe in this week's Sedra. "Mi anochi ki eilech el paro, who am I that I should go to paro, v'chi otziyad b'nei Yisroel mi'aretz Mitzrayim, that I should take the Jewish people out of Egypt." What is the one of the character traits that anivut here is modesty and humility. Modesty and humility. And during the course of this year, we should get to a medrash that says, "Kol ma she'osa Moshe, osa David." Whatever Moshe did, David did. Moshe took the Jewish people out of slavery. David took them out of shibud malchut, being enslaved to the nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael. Just like Moshe gave them five svarim, chamisha konshei Torah, David gave them the five svarim of Tehillim. Tehillim is divided into five books. So that David seems to be the alter ego of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes. He's talking about Malchus. He's not saying, Mi Anochi, who am I? He's not even going to talk about the construction of the Beit HaMikdash at all. In his words now, he's only going to talk about the fact that he has been promised Malchus forever. Mi Anochi, and the end of the pasuk says, Ki Havi Otani, that you have brought me ad Halom. And the Gemara says, Ein Halom Elo Malchut. Halom means Malchut. When Shmuel announced that Shaul is going to be king of Israel, so they can't find him. They're looking for him. So they look around. Did anybody else come halom? Did anybody else come to this point? So the word halom is used with regard to Shaul when he assumes the role of Melech. And same thing over here. He's only going to talk about the Malchus. Vatiktan od zod beinecha Hashem Elokim. Even that was small in your eyes, O God. You know, what was small in your eyes, it was not enough that you spoke of me as king, but you took a giant step further. Vatadaber gam el beit avdecha lemerachok. You also spoke about the house of your servant off into the distant future. No, not enough that you spoke about me. That in and of itself, the fact that I am king, but that you spoke about my house going off into the future. Vizot Torat Ha'adam Hashem Elokim. Zot Torat Ha'adam. The Mufarshim here have a field day. What does it mean, the Zot Torat Ha'adam Hashem Elokim? So there are those who say the Zot Torat Ha'adam, this is, by Torah we mean that which, the way in which we are to conduct ourselves. Torah tells us how to conduct ourselves. The word Torah means the form of conduct. This is the way you will conduct yourself with man from now on and further. Ozot Torat HaAdam, here the Medrash says, HaAdam Ze Moshe, the most unique and outstanding of men. I am like Moshe. Of course, we once mentioned the Medrash that says, Zot Torat HaAdam, this all started with Adam. The name Adam, what does the name Adam stand for? Adam, David, Mashiach, Adam. So that there was something that you had in mind in the days of Adam, and only now is it beginning to become fulfilled. Zot Torat HaAdam Hashem Elokim. Uma Yosef David Od L'Daber Elechem. What more is there that David can speak before you? Va'ata Yodata Et Avdecha Hashem Elokim. You know your servant. You know your servant. So here Rashi, of course, will follow in the footsteps of what he has said a number of times. How have we consistently explained Yodata? How do we always explain it? Yodata, you have loved. You have loved. To know somebody well, is to love. Va'ato Yodata, and Rashi says, Notato li kol tzarki, you have given me all that I want. To know is to love, and to know means therefore to give to David all that he needs. David is not ready to say that it is because of his worthiness. Even though, of course, let's not forget, David says, who am I and who is the house of my father? The fact is that he comes from very good stock. He comes from the family of Yishai, who was the Gadol b'Yisrael. He's into the direct line of Nachshon ben Aminadav. He comes from Peretz. I mean, we're talking about a great line, but David does not see that. Remember, isn't that what we said about David to begin with? There's the whole family, and there's the loner who's out with the sheep. They've even lost. Even in the family, they are unaware of what David is. Even his father, it doesn't occur to him that David is the one whom God has sent Shmuel here to anoint. So therefore, he sees it not as a result of his worthiness, but ba'avur d'varcho u'chalibcha, because this is what you said. It was your word to Shmuel to establish me as king. U'chalibcha. Libcha means this is your will. As Rashi says of it, Sonchat, this is your will, v'lo shani kedai. It's not because I am worthy. It's because of your word and your will that you have done all of this greatness, lahudia et avdecha, to let your servant know what it is that God has in mind. But there is something that's bothering David. Malvin says, something that's troubling David. Prophecy is something that, a communication, that God sends a prophet to the Jewish people about the Jewish people. Prophecy about an individual does not play a role in Tanakh. The only kind of prophecy that is recorded in Tanakh is a prophecy that is of necessity for the entire Jewish people. He therefore sees God's choice of him, not as a choice of him, but this is for the greater glory of the Jewish people. Alkain, and watch how he's going to develop this. Alkain Godalta Hashem Elokim, therefore, God, you are great. Ki ein kamocha, there is none like you. Ve ein Elohim zulatecha, there is no God aside from you. Kechol asher shamanu ba'azmenu, we all heard this with our ears. We know that there is no other God like you. And here, he begins to move from the particular to the communal. He's going to be talking about the Jewish people. Umika amcha ki Yisrael, who is like your people Israel? Goy echad ba'aretz, one people in the land. We had a similar pasuk in Yeshayahu, where the idea that it's expressed is that the uniqueness of the Jewish people can be expressed and will find its fulfillment only in Eretz Yisrael. Mika amcha ki Yisrael, who is like your people Israel, they will be goy echad, one people and a unique people only ba'aretz, in the land. Asher, where else do we see the uniqueness of the Jewish people? Asher holchu Elohim livdot lo la'am. That God or gods, I know I'm going to be very careful with my interpretation here. Livdot lo la'am, to redeem him as a people. He's now referring back to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So who is the Elohim that he is talking about? Who is the Elohim? And certainly when it's a plural, holchu Elohim. They went, gods went. So of course, number one, many of the Farshim say that Elohim means angels, God sent angels. Elohim also means great men, messengers. What was Moshe called? Moshe is called Ish Elohim. Moshe and Aaron are the ones whom he sends livdot lo la'am, to redeem this people, to be unto him as a nation. V'losum lo shein, and this made a great name for God throughout the entire world. V'lasot lachem hagedula, that he did for you, for the Jewish people, he did hagedula, the greatness. V'noraot, and this, the awesome things that he did la'artzecha, he did la'artzecha, for your land. Artzecha over here means that the land is God's land. Just, and Rav Kook mentions this a number of times, that the Jewish people and the land are uniquely suited to one another. And both the land and the people will realize their full potential only when they are joined together. As we've said very often, the land will produce, and the land will give out all of its goodness only when the Jewish people are upon the land. And the Jewish people, on the other hand, will only be able to rise to their unique greatness and strength only in this land, nowhere else on the face of this earth. Mi ka'amcha. So therefore, who is like your people? And therefore, they are a great people in the land, and this is your land. The only two upon whom the name of God is called in Tanakh, is God is referred to as Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, and he is referred to as Elokei Haaretz, the God of the land. The two are uniquely suited to one another, and in a sense they are inextricably intertwined. They will only be able to emerge fully by joining with one another. So there you went, in order to bring them and do great things for them in your land. Mipnei amcha, you did this for your people. Asher podita lachami Mitzrayim, that you redeemed unto you from Egypt. Goyim ve'elohav. Two words, obviously difficult. What does it seem to say? it seems to be saying that you redeemed from Egypt nations and gods. You took nations and gods out of Egypt. Here I'm going to show you something that we mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago. And I said that I would show you examples of it in Tanakh. You know how you're supposed to read this? Ashepadita lecha how? Mi Mitzrayim? Take the mem, the last mem of Mitzrayim. Mi goyim ve Elohav. I see you've learned already. You've learned already. Very often the last letter of a word goes to the next word. So therefore, that you redeemed from Egypt, you redeemed them from goyim, from nations, and from their gods. There is another unique pshat that is said over here. The redemption of Egypt, the redemption of the Jewish people from Egypt, was not only a redemption of Am Yisrael, it was a redeeming of God too. If I didn't, you know, I always hear the last 3 minutes of Avita. Wasn't she talking about Shchinta Begaluta, the Shchina, the divine presence, is in exile, displaced? When the Jewish people are in exile, Shchinta Begaluta, the divine presence, is in exile. The Gemara says, wherever Israel went into exile, God went with them. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Bechol Tzaratam, in all of their troubles, Lo Tzar, He is in trouble with them. Wherever they go, He goes. So therefore, the redemption of Jews from Egypt is not only a redemption of them, but God, so to speak, is redeeming Himself. He too. Where did God say this? He says to Yaakov Avinu, Al tira miradom itzchayma, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Anochi eireidimcha, v'anochi eelcha gamalo. I will go down with you, and I'm going to come up with you, which means that I'm going to be with you in Mitzrayim, and the redemption from Egypt, the Geula, is going to be a Geula for God as well. You established for yourself your people Israel, l'cholam ad olam, to be a people unto you, ad olam, forever. And you, God, have been unto them for a God. A relationship has been cemented between God and the Jewish people. Which means that David is now moving from what he said about himself. In other words, he's thanking God for what he promised him, but he doesn't see the promise to him as being a promise to him as an individual. It is for the greater glory of the Jewish people. And if it is therefore a prophecy that is told to him for the well-being of Am Yisrael, it is no longer a prophecy to an individual, it is a prophecy to all of Israel, and therefore it appears in Tanakh. Be'ato Hashem Elokim. Now God, that which you said about your servant and about his house, Hakeim Ad Olam. This is a prayer that nothing should ever happen, that he should no longer be worthy, or that any of his descendants should not be worthy of it. Hakeim, establish it forever. Vasei kasher dibarta, and do as you said. He is not questioning God's fulfilling of the promise. He's only frightened that he may be unworthy. V'yigdal shimcha ad olam lemar, and let your name be great forever, saying, Hashem Tzvakot Elokim HaYisrael, God of hosts, is the God of Israel. U'beit avdecha David, yiyyeh nachon lefanecha. And the house of your servant David will be established before you. Ki'ato Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, because you, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, golita et Ozen avdecha lemar, you reveal to the ear of your servant. He's saying that prophecy that you said to me, Bayit evne loch, I will build a house to you. That is a promise not only to me but to all of Israel. Al kein motza avdecha et libo litpalel alecha et atfila hazot. Therefore, your servant found his heart. The word lev in Tanakh, heart, usually means will. Therefore, I found the will. Lihitpalel elecho et atzilah hazot, to pray before you this prayer. Be'ato Hashem Elokim, ato hu Elokim, you are God. Udvar echo yiyu emet, and your words will be truth. But to daber al avdecha, you spoke to your servant et atovah hazot, this great good. Va'ato, now, ho'el uvarech et beit avdecha. Ho'el, what does the word ho'el mean? And where do we have it? Three, please.
Let's hear that. That's this week's Seder. Why do you think I ask you these questions? You have to know that the word that I'm referring to appears in the Seder. In the Seder, when Yitro asks Moshe to stay with him, he invites him in. It says, Vayoel Moshe. And Moshe was willingly accepted. He agreed. So Va'ato Ho'el, let it be your will to bless the house of your servant, Lihiyot La'olam Lefanecha. He should always be before you. Because you, God, have spoken, from your blessing, Yevorach Beit Avdecha La'olam, the house of your servant, should be blessed forever. This is the tefillah of David. We're talking about somebody who is humble, one who is concerned, uncertain that he or his descendants will be worthy of this. We are talking about a man who is profoundly pious, who sees himself as the servant of the Jewish people, personally unworthy, but only because this is what will establish the Jewish people into the future. Yes. Well, maybe because David already is already there. In other words, David has already seen the beginning of the fulfillment. David is Melech. David has conquered major parts of Eretz Yisrael already.
All right.
Listen, if we finished half a perek, you know, I've fallen behind in the last few weeks. Let's go further. The next perek is going to be an explanation of this perek. How did we understand this perek? Why has David been told that he cannot build the Bet HaMikdash? So we said, because he's Ish Milchama. We quoted the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim where the Pasuk says, where David himself says that God told me, Milchamot gedolot asito, you waged great wars, dam larov shafakto, you spilled much blood, lo tivne bayit lishmi, you shall not build a house to me. So I'm saying, we said it last week, I'm saying again, it's not because his hands are dripping with blood, therefore he cannot build the Bet HaMikdash. What's necessary for the construction of the Bet HaMikdash is that it has to be a period of peace. And David HaMelech's time is not a period of peace. He's one who must wage wars. And the wars have to be waged and won. Peace has to come to the land, and only then can the Bet HaMikdash be built. Why is it ironic?
You have to have wars to have peace.
Yeah.
You're right. You have to have wars. Unfortunately, you have to have wars to have peace. You're right. That's a very interesting way of putting it. But we know that, unfortunately, I'm just afraid that when people forget that or lose sight of it, you can be in real trouble. Be in real trouble. I don't know, when one thinks that there's peace on earth, there are 49 wars going on the face of this earth right now. 49 wars. So I don't know whether one can refer to this. That's in peacetime. Shtel sich nach vor. You understand what wartime is like. 49 wars. The fact is, until last week, there were 48. The 49th is Russia in Chechnya. I tell you, you learn what a terrible way to learn geography. You learn the names of cities only because war makes them famous or infamous. So here is the parak that's going to explain what took place in the parak before. Let's see how much we can cover. I'm in one of those moods today. And it came to pass afterwards, David had Plishtim, David smote Plishtim, and he subdued them. David et meteg ha'ama miyad Plishtim. And David took meteg ha'ama. Meteg is a metal bit that is used to restrain a horse. That's what they say in the English, yeah?
Yeah. Oh.
The bit? Oh, all right, okay. In other words, that represents, in the Pasuk, what it represents is the most important city of Plishtim, which was the one that restrained or ruled over the rest of Plishtim. He sub Gat. The city of Gat was the major city in Plishtim. It means, first of all, that David, of course,
the area closest, in other words, the enemy that is closest, Plishtim, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, all of those areas of Plishtim are the first one. We're talking along the coast and to the south. We're going to have a study in geography here too, by virtue of the wars that David is going to wage. Vayachet Moav, and he smote Moav. Vayimadadein b'chevel hashkevel tamaratza. He measured them off with a rope. He had the prisoners lie down on the ground. Vayimadein shnei chavalim lahamit. Two thirds were put to death. Umelo hachevel hachayot, and one third was left alive. If we are to recall Oleg's cartoon of a few days ago, where David HaMelech, David is standing over Goliath, holding Goliath's head in his hand, and Peres is standing off on the side, and he says, "My, that's not a Jewish thing to do." Right? Yeah, this guy, he's great, yeah. I'm sure that would Peres know of this pasuk, so he would also say, that's not a Jewish thing to do. But of course, we have to ask the question, why is Moab singled out for this kind of punishment? And the Medrash gives the answer. You may not see it in the pasuk, but the Medrash says that while Shaul was pursuing David, David sent his family for safekeeping to Moab. Moab was part of the Mishpucha, remember. He comes from Rut HaMoabiyah. They were on good terms with Moab. And the king of Moab wiped out David's family. You won't see it in Tanakh. Wiped out the family. We're talking about holding them up. You give them over for safekeeping, and they are held as hostages and executed. Can you imagine the profound tragedy in the life of David? For this, a people deserves to be punished. No, his parents. His parents. You understand? His parents. And so maybe some of his brothers, his wives were with him. So therefore, you know, if one is going to learn the pasuk without benefit of the Medrash, one would have a great deal of difficulty in understanding the pasuk. I don't know.
There must be some allusion.
Yeah, there most probably is an allusion, and I think we had it in a pasuk a few chapters ago. And I remember we pointed it out. Well, very good. Well, we need you here. 22, 1 Samuel 22, 4. 22. Yes. Vayam chen et pnei melech Moab vayeshvu imo kol yemei hayot David b'mitzudah. He took his family. Yetzei, the pasuk before says. Vayelech David misham mitzpei Moab vayomer al melech Moab. Let my father and mother go with you until I know what God will do with me. And he took them to Moab. The only thing is, of course, what we need the Medrash for is to find out what happened to them. In other words, no mention ever again after that pasuk in chapter 22, no mention ever again is made of the mother and father of David. So it's the Medrash that tells us that they were simply executed. Understand?
22:4.
Ammon and Moab. We were supposed to be lenient with them, not to engage in battle with them unless they. No, if they engage us in battle, take a look. Yiftach, who did Yiftach go out to wage war with? He waged war against Bnei Ammon. For that matter, who was one of the conquerors of Israel? Eglon Melech Moab. In other words, from the time that Ammon and Moab became enemies, then we had a right to go back and lahashiv milchama shara. We have a responsibility to go out and wage war. Let's put it more profound. You make war with enemies.
Did you read Jonathan Glass's article?
Yes.
Very good.
That's pretty good, right?
for off the cuff, it's not bad at all. All right.
Pure.
That's pure gold. All right, good. I like that. This is, of course, old Testament wisdom. You understand? Old Testament wisdom. Yeah.
How do people come in?
As far as you see, this is it. As far as the Jewish people is concerned, it's not a question. See, I believe the mistake that our present government is making is they think that they are going to be able to eradicate anti-Semitism. They think they will be able to eradicate hatred of the Jew. Not a chance. Not a chance in the world. Nobody ever succeeded. It never happened. The only way in which to eradicate anti-Semitism is for the country to be strong and ready to strike at its enemies. Toby, I'm learning Tanakh. Do you think you're going to be able to? Go ahead, yes. Go ahead.
But the fact is that they may have started out this way, but now you, who witnessed what took place in Oslo, know that it's simply a matter of arrogance. They may have started. You once did a wonderful, wonderful talk on what happens when you make a mistake. I didn't go back.
No, I didn't. Yeah. So what's happening over here is there are enemies, and one has to know how to deal with the enemy. One cannot appease an enemy. That was clearly the lesson of the 20th century. I'll tell you one of the things that I'm trying to check out now, and I find that there's another article today in the Ma'ariv about it. It seems there was a study written recently by a fellow, Rafi Eitan, who was the Prime Minister's expert on terrorism, that an awesome amount of sophisticated weapons have come in from Egypt to the Gaza Strip, and from the Gaza Strip to Yudavi Shomron. Yudavi Shomron is turning into an armed camp. And we know this, and we're doing nothing, and it's unbelievable.
Redeploying.
They won't move out of Beit Lechem. 100,000 Jews are going to go to Beit Lechem. You're going to come with me. No. All right. Let's. Well, I don't know. When I'm going, I'll let you know. When I'm going. Okay. Vayachet Moav, vayimadetein b'chedal hashkeva tamarzan here. Okay. Umloachet vatihim Moav leDavid laavodim nosei mincha. By dealing with them with strength. Moab were to David servants, no same mincha, who paid the taxes. Vayach David, so that means like this. Let's follow the geography. He begins with Plishtim, which is to the southwest. He has moved to Moab. Moab is the southeast, the other side of the Yarden. He's now going to move northward. There are enemies in the north. Vayach David et Hadad Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova. He smote Hadad Ezer, the son of Rehov, king of Tzova, belechto lahashiv yado b'nahar Prat. So first of all, Tzova, the area of Aram Tzova, where is Chalav? Syria. Northern Chalav. What's the name of the city? It's Chalav or Achlav?
Huh?
You're right. They refer to themselves, the Chalavian Jews refer to themselves as the Aleppo, that's it. I know, I was trying to... Aleppo is Chalav. The Chalavian Jews always refer to themselves as the Jews of Aram Tzova. I believe there's also an old Torah scroll that was found over there that's called the Keter Aram Tzova, where a lot of our texts are... we check our text to the text of Aram Tzova. In other words, that means we're talking about northern Syria is Aram Tzova. That means David now is moving northward. He's moving northward. Vayach et Hadad Ezer ben Rechov in Melech Tzova belechto lahashiv yado b'nahar. Fascinating, and don't ask me. I've looked, I haven't found. The word Prat, the name Prat, does not appear, but there's a space there. What he was doing, it seems that David had gone
to place his hand upon the borders. He was checking out the borders, and he was attacked by Hadad Ezer ben Rehov, king of Tzova. Vayilko David Mimenu Elefu Shvamayot Parashim. David captured from him 1,700 Parashim. Most of the Mepharshim say that Parashim means horses. Horses. But remember, there is a pasuk in Torah that says that a king is not permitted to have many horses. Lo yarda lo susim. He should pen lest he take the people back to Egypt, and from there they're going to bring horses. So you'll see what he's going to do with the horses. He also captures 20 esrim elef ishragli, 20,000 foot soldiers, infantry. Vayakir David kol arechev vayotemi menu meyor arechev. He broke or tore the cartilage or the muscles of the horses so that the horses should not be... he didn't kill them. He didn't disable them, that they shouldn't be... he shouldn't be able to use them for war. And he left 100. Vatovo Aram Damesek, Lazola Hadadeza Melach Tzova. Aram, now comes Aram, is going to become a very important kingdom during the period of Melachim Aleph. Huh? Aram is also part of the area of Syria. Aram Damesek, la'azor la'hadadezer melech Tzova, to help Hadadezer the king of Tzova, yach David ba'aram esrim u'shtayim elef. David smote in Aram 22,000. Ayosim David mitzivim ba'aram Damesek. David already placed in Aram of the Damesek of Aram, he placed his governors. They were under him. The conquest of Aram by David plays a very important role in halacha. The question is, those areas of Syria that were conquered by David, do they have a halacha of Eretz Yisrael with regard to Truma and Meiser and Shemitah or not? Now, from the point of view of the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Syria is within the boundaries of Greater Israel. You like the terminology, yeah, because Syria, of course, sees Lebanon and Palestine as part of Greater Syria, but, yes.
Is that from Abraham that you made, because they're different boundaries?
Well, the boundaries are always, the Gvulot HaHavtacha, the boundaries that were promised to the Jewish people, are from Nahal Mitzrayim ad Nahar Prat, ad HaNahar HaGadol Nahar Prat, until the great river Nahar Prat. Now the Prat is beyond the Euphrates, is beyond Syria. Syria is clearly part of Eretz Yisrael.
The Euphrates is part of Iraq.
Right, right. There's even a medrash that I don't think anybody knows where the medrash is, where the medrash says Atida Yerushalayim ultimately is going to spread out at Damascus until Damascus. And we say it something similar to that we say in the Hoshanas.
Yes.
Right, very good, the Hoshanas. That Yerushalayim extends to Damascus. It was promised to them. The conquest takes place now. However, according to the halakha, what David HaMelech had to do was first conquer the main areas of Eretz Yisrael before he conquered that. But he didn't. It says at the end, not supposed to. There was no time limit placed on how long it should take to conquer Eretz Yisrael. On the contrary, in Torah it says, I will cast them out before you, but I will do it slowly, so that the land should not be desolate. Oh, in Yehoshua, you'll go through 3-4 parakim in the middle of Yehoshua. They divided all of Eretz Yisrael amongst the tribes, and then it became the responsibility of each tribe to conquer the area that was allotted to them. Nah, nowhere. No. No, it doesn't. Because there's a pasuk in Sefer Devarim that says, in I believe it's in Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram that he's going to give him 10 nations, the 10 nations who live in Canaan. The 10 later become 7. Shiva Umot, the 7 nations.
And then there's a pasuk in Devarim that says that you should make cities of refuge, three on the east bank of the Jordan, three on the west bank of the Jordan, and then it will come to pass, Ki Yarchiv Hashem et Gvulchom, when God is going to expand your borders, you are going to add another three for a total of nine Arei Miklat. When will that be? The Gemara says, that will be when ultimately we will receive the land of those other three nations, which is that area all the way to the Prat. So that's already, that's going to be a job for Mashiach. This is not a something that is our responsibility. Vayosim David Tzivim by Aram Damascus, and David placed the governors over Aram in Damascus. Vati Aram to David, Lavodim Nosim Mimchum. Aram became to David as well, servants who brought him taxes. Vayosha Hashem et David b'kol asher halach, and God saved David. He was his salvation wherever he went. Doesn't it sound like what Hashem said to Moshe? Vayosha Hashem et Yisrael Vayomahu. Vayosha, he's also the one who saves David. They had shields of gold that belonged to the servants of Hadadezer, and he brought them to Yerushalayim. From Betach and Beidoti, that was the city of Hadadezer, he brought a great deal of copper. So anyway, the idea already that the Perek wants to establish, that idea is already, we know that already, that David is still a man of war. There's still many wars and many battles to be won. And as long as there are still battles to be won, the time to build the Beit HaMikdash has not yet arrived. That will come as long. Vayishma Tohi Melech Hamat, Kihika David is called Chayil Hadadazah, and Tohi, the king of Hamat. Hamat is Hamat. No, not Hamat Gader. The Gemara says in other places there are a few Hamat. This Hamat is near the Euphrates, the northern part of Syria, already Iraq. When he heard Kihiko David had called Chayil Hadadazah, that David had smitten the army of Hadadazah, by Yishlach Tohi at Yoram Beno Alamel of David, Lish'ollah Lish'olom, Ulevarachol Al Asher Nilcham, by Hadadazah, by Yakeu, he sent his son Yoram to King David, to extend peace to him and to bless him, that he had waged war against Hadadezer and smitten him. Ki ish milchamot to'i hayah Hadadezer, because To'i had been the one who had been at war with Hadadezer all of those years. And he brought a gift to David, silver and gold and copper. Gam otan higdish hamelech David Hashem. Them also David dedicated to God. It's important to note that what's happening over here is something similar to what Yehoshua does when he enters the Eretz Yisrael. The first conquest is going to be the conquest of Yericho. But upon Yericho, he places a ban of excommunication. No one is permitted to take anything in Yericho. Everything, the spoil of Yericho, is dedicated to God. The purpose of Yehoshua doing this was to make it very clear that this is a people entering Eretz Israel, not a warring nation like all other warring nations. They are here because it's a mitzvah, they're here because there's a divine purpose, and therefore all other nations are only at war for spoil. Here, spoil goes to God. David now, the wars that he's waged after he's been told that he cannot build a house, but he will do whatever is possible for him to lay the groundwork for the construction of that. Even the wars that he's waging now, he sees as the means of paving the way so that Shlomo should be able to build it. If he will complete the wars, then Shlomo will be a man of peace, and therefore he will be able to build it. Therefore, even these wars, he makes certain that he does not take spoil. This spoil is all set aside for the Beit HaMikdash, which means both the war that he wages and the spoils all are for that greater purpose. Gam otim otam higdish hamelo davar Hashem im hakesef v'azov asher higdish mikol hadoyim asher kavash, from all the nations that he conquered. He didn't take any of that for himself or for the Jewish people. It was all set aside for the Beit HaMikdash, because everything that's taking place in this Berek
is in order to pave the way and set the stage for what Shlomo will ultimately be able to do. Me Adam, umi Moav, umi Bnei Amon, umi Plishtim, umi Amalek. Pasuk wants to make certain that you should know all of the valuable spoil were given to the Bet HaMikdash. Umi Shlal Hadadezer ben Rechov, and from that which he took from Hadadezer, the son of Rechov, king of Tzoba. Vayaz David Shem, Beshuvomi Akotoet Adam, Begemelach, and David made a name for himself. Oh, it's one of his great battles is going to come now, where he's going to wage war with Edom. That means if we are to follow him geographically again, he has been up to the north, and now Edom, he's coming south again. Edom is even south of Moab, on the east bank of the Jordan. Vayaz David Shem, Shuvomi HaKatoat Aram, the Gay Melech, when he came back from smiting Aram in a place called Gay Melech, Shmona Osor Elef, 18,000 men were killed in battle. Vayosem be'edom nitzivim, bechol edom some nitzivim, vayihi kol edom avodim le'david, vayosha Hashem et David bechol asher halach. So first of all, you have to notice, you'll find that this is another one of the styles of Tanakh. The end of this pasuk is really a repetition of what had been said before. Very often there are psukim that become a theme, and the way in which they become a theme is by repeating them. By Yosha Hashem et David bechol asher halach was the end of pasuk the end of pasuk 6, and now again it is the end of pasuk 14. He conquers Edom, and in Edom he establishes governors over all of Edom. By Aram he had only done it in Damascus. Here he has conquered all of Edom. By Yimlov David al kol Yisrael. By Yehi David Osa Mishpat and Tzedaka l'chol amav. By having waged the wars of Israel, we already were told before that he had been king over all of Israel. The by Yimlov David now means that he has established his kingdom. He is the king of all of Israel. In a sense, the words of the Radak are, Kishenitzach kol hamilchamot va'afes beit Shaul lo haya adam b'yisrael mefakbeit b'malchuto. Not enough. Two things had to happen. No one was left from the house of Shaul, and he succeeded in all of his battles. There was no longer anybody that questioned his kingship. Yes.
Well, what about the front? They had all.
That's exactly what it means. That's precisely what it means. The tribal, and this I had said some months ago, long time, maybe a year or two ago, that this is the theme, for that matter, if we want to talk about the theme of all of Sefer Shmuel, beginning from the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel, in the first half of Shmuel, we still hear talk of different tribes. What was all of Sefer Shoftim? Tribes acted on their own. The tribal divisions had not fallen. There were 12 different people. Who is the first one that unites all of the people of Israel? Is Shmuel. No. It says about Shmuel that all of Israel, Midan Vad Be'er Sheva, saw Shmuel as Navi Lashem, which means once we have a Navi of this sort, he is the one who has the power now to anoint the king. He does it with Shaul, then he does it with David. What's necessary now is for David to be accepted by all of Israel. And we point that out a number of times, because the Bet HaMikdash will have to be built by a united people, and a people who will not question where the Bet HaMikdash is going to be built. If they see themselves as tribal units, each tribe will want the Bet HaMikdash in their own territory. But once the tribal divisions have fallen, and they see themselves all as part of one people, and they owe their allegiance to one man, so it means all of the tribes no longer see themselves as outsiders. They're all together. And that's what happens in this pasuk. It's finally happened. So that means already that we've said the chapter is laying the groundwork now in three ways in order to fulfill the possibility for Shlomo to build the Beit HaMikdash. Number one, the wars have to be completed. Number two, the spoils of all of these wars are going to be set aside for the Beit HaMikdash. And number three, the fact that all of Israel have become united. There are no longer any tribal divisions. One of the rare days that I may be able to finish a parak. Do you know what it means? You know what it means? Even though we'll have to come back to it, but because just all that is said just on this pasuk, the second half of the pasuk, by Yehi David Osa Mishpat Utstafa L'Cholamo. You think we can just pass a pasuk like this without... So we'll save it. We'll save it for next week, that he does justice and righteousness L'Cholamo for all of his people. I mean, but, that's a David HaMelech. V'yoav ben Tzri al HaTzavah, Yoav ben Tzri was in charge of the army. V'yoav Shafat ben Achilud was Masir secretary. We'll talk about it. V'tzodak ben Achituv, V'achimelech ben Eviatar, V'akohanim, U'Saroya, Saroya was the Sofer, the tribe. U'beno Yahu ben Yoyodav Akreti, V'hapleti, U'benei David, Kohanim Hayu. And Beno Yahu ben Yoyodav, and the Kreti and the Pleti, we will talk about the Kreti and Pleti. What's being established over here is the government. Who are the people? Who are the people that are running the country? So we have to know who the Kreti and Pleti are. Who are the and the sons of David being Kohanim? There's a great deal we have to say about these last few psukim. But really, what has happened now in this parak is his malchus is firmly established. He has done everything that he has to do in order to indeed be the melech of all Yisrael. He has a government that's running and operating properly. There are people, there are no reshufflings over here of his cabinet. He has the people who are the responsibility. Now, we're talking now, the last few psukim simply give us the picture of an organized, it's not a band of people who've been roaming the hills of Yehuda. That's what he was to begin with. Now, it's a malchus. There's a government. It's established. It's ready. And from here it goes forward. Yes, Toby?
Where did one generation?
God, there goes the great pessimist again. Why can't we enjoy a parrot? We learned the whole parrot today. You know what that means? That we even stand a chance of finishing all of Shmuel Bet this year.
Yeah, the parrot has been left only in Shlomo, and I think that it's...